Good evening. It's good to see you tonight. We're so thankful that you're here, that we have a chance to worship together, and thankful. Thank you, Lauren, for reading that passage. We're going to turn our attention to it momentarily in our study of God's Word. We're especially appreciative of our visitors. We mentioned this morning, but and I think Maury did already, that the Huffs will be hitting the road tonight for a little while, so we pray their safe travels and journeys, and it's been a blessing and a pleasure to have them with us over the last couple of weeks or so, and we welcome you again, and wish you safe travels all the way home. It's good to see others that are able to be here tonight. As we turn our attention to the passage, we've entitled our lesson "The Milk and Meat of the Word," and it could be that you're not a Christian and you're here tonight. Could be that you know what the Bible says you need to do to be saved, but you haven't yet done that. If that's the case, then we want to encourage you. We want to have God's Word influence you tonight to do what you know is right, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved from your sins. After this lesson, we'll invite you to come forward. If you'll simply acknowledge your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you'll having repented of your sins, you'll be prepared to be baptized, and tonight you'll be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Then we encourage that of you, and we stand ready to help you so that you can be saved, that you can become a new creature in Christ, a babe in Christ, and begin partaking of the milk of the Word and progress to the meat of the Word and so mature in Christ Jesus. If there's sin in our lives as Christians, God expects us to confess our sin to Him, to repent of it, to pray His forgiveness. And He's promised that He'll do just that. And He also said, confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. If there's prayer that's public, prayer that we need to acknowledge to each other, against one another, against the Lord, then we urge you to use this opportunity at the end of our study to accomplish that as well. Let's turn our attention to Hebrews 5, verses 12 beginning, and all through chapter 6 and verse 3, and talk about milk and meat of the Word. You know, milk was one of the staples of the Israelites' diet throughout the Old Testament. You see, just about practically every animal that was herded, milk was taken from that animal. Goat, cows, and so from that you had a variety of foods. Of course, there's the milk itself, but there was also the curds and cheeses, yogurt and butter. Maybe they even had buttermilk. I don't know. They could drink that without me, but some of you like buttermilk, and that's just fine. You can have my part. But milk was a very regular part of a meal, and important for the nutrition, obviously, of infants, of newborns with their mother, and throughout life. Now, meat was also a part of the diet. It was somewhat infrequent, not as frequent as the cheeses and so forth. At times, it seems to have been more of a special occasion. Perhaps somebody visiting, you see that a number of times when an animal is prepared for food. Of course, the king and the king's table always had meats, but so along with the milk and the meat, of course, there would be the fruits and the nuts and the vegetables and the grains that would round out the diet in that day. But the Lord takes these two ideas of milk and meat and use them to make some applications spiritually, to talk about our nutrition that we must feed upon. If you'll go with me to John, the sixth chapter. In John chapter 6, we have Jesus talking about food there, and He used food several times to talk about, of course, the spiritual food that we need. In this passage in John 6, we'll pick up our reading in verse 31. John 6:31 says, I'm sorry, John 4, I apologize, that's John 4 and verse 31. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And therefore, His disciples said one to another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So the food that sustained and nourished Jesus was the doing of God's will. It was the fulfilling of his will on that occasion. Chapter 6 and verse 27, John 6, 27 says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So now there is food for which we labor, not for our daily bread, but for our spiritual sustenance, for a food that feeds us for eternal life. And Jesus goes on to use the figure of the bread of life, and that he is the bread of life. And so we are to eat his body and drink his blood later in that chapter. He's not talking about the Lord's Supper in that chapter when he says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you don't have life. He's talking about partaking of him and his teachings. Chapter 6 goes on to say, to whom shall we turn? You have the words of eternal life. It's Christ's words. When we partake of his teachings, then we are eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In that context, we are partaking of the spiritual nourishment we must have, or we will die spiritually. And so it is in Hebrews the 5th chapter and on into chapter 6 that it is the teachings of God's word that help us be healthy and productive, both the milk of the word and the meat of the word. Both of them have their place in our spiritual diet. In Acts the 20th chapter, verses 27 and 28, the apostle Paul said when he was in Ephesus, and no doubt this was a pattern for him wherever he taught, he said, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Because you see, it was all of God's counsel, the milk and the meat, all of its intricacies, all of that which had been delivered to him, that he had received, he delivered to them. And so he goes on in verse 28 to now say to the elders, you feed the church. You take that which I preach to you and you feed it to the church. Now in doing that, there will be some milk to be fed and there will be meat to be fed. Both of them are essential for our spiritual nourishment. That's what we want to discuss today, to understand that there's places and there's a context for milk and there's a context for meat. And that whether that is preaching, whether that is in written form, whether that's Bible classes, we're talking here about the nature of the teaching, of the material, of the information of God's Word, and our use of it. I think that'll become clear as we go through this particular text. So let's begin by asking these two questions. For whom is the milk and for whom is the meat? I guess it's three questions combined into two. For whom is the milk and the meat, and what are their purposes? We're not only going to look at Hebrews 5, but we're going to also look at 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Peter 2 that also use this idea of milk, the milk of the Word. And to begin to answer that question, what is the milk of the Word, or who is the milk of the Word for, more appropriately, who is the milk of the Word for? It's clear that it's for the infant. It's for the babies. It's for the small children. You see that in chapter 5 of Hebrews in verse 13. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So the unskilled is the babe. The baby needs its mother's milk. It will not survive without milk. This was long before there was any formula that was mixed with water and fed the babies. Or open a can, I suppose. Somebody sometime do that. We used to use Similac. And you use Similac. That powder, shake it up with water, and now you got a bottle, right? Well, milk. Okay, it's obvious that the babies need milk. And it's because they're not developed. That's emphasized in 1 Corinthians 3, not particularly in a good reference to the Corinthians, but nevertheless, you see its use. When Paul said, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. So you see, the point he's making is built upon the case that it is the babe in Christ that requires the milk, and furthermore, he says, the fact is you're unspiritual. You're not developed. The word that he uses, carnal or sarkinos, here is you're not spiritual. You're unspiritual. You are still composed of the things of the flesh. Well, a babe in Christ is undeveloped. Now, and that's the application that more of what Hebrews 5 makes, is that they're undeveloped because they're not experienced. They can't digest meat. It'd be foolish to give Everett meat. Not as foolish, it'd be dangerous. Right? It'd be dangerous for his welfare to give him meat right now. Couldn't handle it. Choke. Something like that. Right, Mama? Yeah. We don't give little babies meat. They can't eat it. They're not made for that yet. Now, there's spiritual application. The new Christian needs the milk of the Word, needs it to grow, needs it to thrive. Without that, then he's not going to mature properly. In fact, we can endanger the faith of some if we want to force feed the new Christian meat when they're spiritually undeveloped, when they're not skilled in it yet. They need milk. Now, the problem with the Hebrews was, they were at a point in their life as Christians, they should have been eating meat. And they still needed milk. That's the other side of the coin we'll talk about in a minute. The reality is, the milk of the Word is for those who, he says, are unskilled, inexperienced, not trained in the Word of righteousness. They're not equipped for it yet, and there's nothing wrong with that. The babe in Christ is just that, a baby, an infant, a newborn. And so, such need the basic nutrition that milk gives to give basic growth. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Look at this, please. It says there, probably in a little more general context, but still with this application, he says, laying aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Here he speaks especially about the desire of the baby for the milk. The new Christian ought to be desiring the Word of God. And sometimes a newborn Christian desires the meat when really they still just need to eat the milk. What do? You gradually transition into the meat, don't you? And we'll talk about that too. But right now we're saying the milk in this context, the milk of the Word, is for the newborn, it's for the infant, it's for the new Christian, because there's not yet been spiritual development. Their experience level, their ability to digest, to use the meat, is not yet developed because they simply have not had the time and opportunity to become skilled in the use of the Word of God. Now, as a result of that, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 gives us some identification of these first principles, which equate to the milk of the Word. Because he says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. So, the milk of the Word is the first principles, the rudimentary elements, the basic elements. It's like the milk is basic. You start there. It's fundamental. But now, clearly, we're supposed to move from that. He says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or to maturity. The thing, he's talking about the elementary principles of Christ, not just things about Christ. I think Lauren's translation said things about Christ. But you read some of these things, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, those aren't about Christ, those belong to Christ. Those are the things that he taught, right? So he's talking about these fundamental teachings that belong to Jesus. He says we're to move beyond that. Lay those aside in your spiritual maturity. Not more on that in a minute. But look at the identifying marks. He talks about salvation. Repentance from sin. Faith toward God. Baptism. Those are elements concerning salvation. Teachings about salvation is the milk of the Word. That's foundational. It's rudimentary, elementary. It's the basics. Laying on of hands. Miraculous spiritual gifts. He says that's elementary. That's basic. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. All of those he describes in his context as milk. Now, are you equipped to use God's Word in these elementary things? Or by reason of time, should you be a teacher? And yet you're not able to. This is how we're going to apply this to ourselves. Have we moved from the elementary? Have we moved from the milk to desire the meat and to use the meat? Or are we content just with the milk? Because you see, what we quickly learn is the milk is not our exclusive diet. Just like you don't want to just keep feeding your child milk when they're 2 years old or even 1 year old, right? You're going to transition them into something else, something in addition to. You don't stop the milk, but you add other things. So milk's not exclusive. And if we are content just with the basics, the milk, the rudimentary, how to be saved, or how to confirm. You see, confirmation, there's the laying on of hands, are the end of things, resurrection and judgment. Salvation, confirmation, termination. If that's all we're content with, then we might be the ones that the teacher has a hard time explaining things to us because we've become dull of hearing. And that is his context. The writer was prepared to tell them some things about the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. And he says, it's hard for me to explain because you become dull of hearing. Your listening has not sharpened to this point, to the point where it ought to be. And then he goes into talking about milk and meat. So here's the milk. And that's where they were and they should have progressed. So let's talk about the meat. The meat's for the grown-ups. Right? It's for those who are growing up and those who are grown. Okay? The 3-year-old, the 4-year-old, they're growing up. The 10-year-old, they're growing up. You're feeding them meat. Because you see, the meat brings that person, brings us to maturity. 1 Corinthians, let's go back to chapter 3. Because there, in verses 2, 3, and 4, he said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. That's the meat. For until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you're not able. You're still carnal. If we're undeveloped, then we're not ready for meat. But we ought to be developing so we can get to the meat. For where there's envy, strife, and division, you're still carnal. So here's some of the elements that prevent our maturity. Envy, strife, division. Those are elements of carnality that hinder the growth of maturity from taking the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. For you say, I'm of Paul, and he says, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? He says, aren't you? In fact, he uses, his emphasis shifts to not just being undeveloped, but being against spiritual development. You're anti-spiritual when there's envy and jealousy and strife, divisions. That's the work of the flesh. You haven't matured, you said. You haven't grown up. You need to put those things away so you can begin to mature, and I can teach you things beyond the milk of the Word. Chapter 2 and verse 15, he put it in this sense. He says, the spiritual man, the spiritual person judges all things. That is, he examines, he inquires, he questions the natural man and the spiritual man. The spiritual one is the grown up in that text. He's mature. He's able to take the revealed Word, digest it, and use it, unhindered by sins of carnality. So, there's that digestion idea back in Hebrews 5, right? Hebrews 5, he said that the babes without experience, but solid food, here's the meat, belongs to those who are of full age, those who are grown up, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So just as the body gets accustomed to and adapts to the digesting of meat, the Christian, by using God's Word, by learning and increasing and applying that truth to our lives, we become used to digesting that Word and using its nutrition in our lives. to be living by faith, to be a spiritually mature person in Christ. That's what the meat accomplishes for us. So Paul talk, or the writer here talks about that meat expands our growth. We've got to move beyond the first principle and press on to perfection. Let us go on or press on to maturity, he says. The meat's more complex, food. Meat's more complex than milk. So look how it's digested. He says, by reason of use, you're able to discern. Just like the body taking the meat, the enzymes and all those, whatever there is in there, in the digesting process, grabs the nutrients and feeds our body. And we're able to use it. We need to be able to grab the nutrition from God's Word, put it into our hearts and lives for our benefit, for our spiritual strength. That's the picture, and it's easy to understand when we talk about food. None of us want to live on milk. We want some meat. I know there's vegetarians, that's fine. But be that. But he says, you know, we're also equipped to eat meat. If I understand Genesis right. In Genesis after the flood, God says, as I gave you the herb, now I'm going to give you the animals. You can eat the meat. And we ought to with Thanksgiving, 1 Timothy 4, if we want to. Now, so that's, we want to eat it. Because he says, see, that's his picture. We're able to use that as we should in our spiritual development and to help others develop, by the way. Verse 12, notice that when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. You see, he said, so when we are able to take the meat, then we're able to be equipped as teachers to help others. You don't throw a new Christian into a great teaching situation. You teach him first. You help that person learn to grow to become a teacher. The newborn in Christ needs to learn so that they can teach. And that is that's the maturing process from milk to meat. Now, what we found out is that there's a time when milk is desirable and necessary. When we're infants in Christ, when we're new creatures in Christ, when we're small and growing and developing in Christ. But there's also a time when meat is desirable and necessary. And if we can't eat it, then it becomes a hindrance to our ability to hear the Word of God. Chapter 5 and verse 11 of Hebrews. And we don't want to be there in our lives. You see, both milk and meat are needed so that we can be fully nourished, fully capable of teaching the Word, of using it in our lives to distinguish what's good and evil, what's right and what's wrong, to do the good, to shun the evil, to be mature Christians in our lives. Well, let's talk for a minute about some misconceptions about milk and meat that may or may not have occurred to you as we went through this. Misconception number one. The meat of the Word is controversial, but the milk is not. That's a misconception of milk and meat. Look at that list in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 of what he describes as the milk. And you tell me if any of those things are controversial. What about doctrine of baptisms? Any controversy there? What about laying on of hands? How about resurrection and the judgment? Of course there's controversy. You see, first principles are controversial. If we think that the milk and the meat of the Word means the milk is not controversial, it's just the meat of the Word that's controversial, then we've misunderstood the milk and the meat. Acts, the 4th chapter, is just one illustration of obviously many, many you could point to in Scripture. I point to this one because it involves one of the very things mentioned in Hebrews 6, there in verses 1 and 2. In Acts 4, and verses 1 through 3, they spoke to the people, as they spoke to the people, that's Peter and John, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, because it's already evening. Peter and John are arrested because they preached resurrection of the dead. That's the first principle. Back there, Hebrews 6 and verse 2, resurrection of the dead. That's a milk of the word. And they're put in prison for it. Okay, so it's a misconception if we think milk is not controversial. It doesn't cause any problems. It's just the meat that causes problems. No, that's not right. That's not how he uses it in the text. Misconception number two, the mature never need milk. Well, that's not right. You're grown up, you ever eat cheese? I used to have a craving for cheese and crackers, man. That's good stuff. 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. I fed that craving too, by the way. So 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. You know this present truth, but I'm going to remind you anyway. You know the doctrine of baptisms. You know that there's one effective baptism today, but there's what? At least seven baptisms in the New Testament? You know that. If you don't, you need to know that. You know the doctrine of resurrection, the judgment to come. But he says, you know this present truth, but I'm going to tell it to you again. And there's several verses that speak to that same idea. So, you see, if we think, well, once I'm mature, I don't need those first principles, that's wrong too. We need those first principles, lest we forget.
Now he uses this term, leave the discussion of. He doesn't say forget the doctrines of, but he said move beyond the discussion of. Don't merely satisfy yourself with always discussing the first principles, because that's not going to equip you in your spiritual development. It doesn't say forget the first principles. He doesn't say leave the first principles. He says leave the discussion. That is, move beyond that. But always be reminded. Always come back to hear again, as Philippians 3 and verse 1 says, to tell you the same thing is not irksome to me, and to you it's safe. There's safety in hearing it again. One of our songs, number 516 in our book, I Love to Tell the Story. Verse 3 says, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. The mature long to hear the story of Jesus, to hear of those that are things that are foundational, but they build on that. They move beyond that. From that, they equip themselves to teach others, as well as remain faithful and true themselves. So it's misconception if we think the mature never need milk. Misconception number three, babes only need milk. And we alluded to this earlier. Now, a baby can only digest milk, but we want that baby to grow, so that we begin to introduce the solid food and eventually the meats. We don't want a Christian to stay an infant in Christ. We want them to grow. By feeding the basics, the first principles, to help them mature in their understanding and their application of that truth in their lives, so that they too can take the milk of the meat, that which is more complex, that which is more, and in its complexity, though, there is nutrition needed for development, for strength, for balance, for the nutrition of a well-rounded, well-grown Christian. So, the first principles are needed in larger quantities
as we move from milk to meat. And if we don't, growth is stunted. If we forever protect somebody from the meat of the word, then we have just conceded that stunted growth is okay. If we never talk about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, because that just might be too deep for some, then we've admitted and we've conceded that we can stay immature. We don't have to teach those things and it'll be all right. Or we don't have to talk about the prophets of the Old Testament and study them, you know, because it's just too hard. You know, that just too much there. Let's just stay with the basics. Ever hear that? I think I've heard that probably a time or two. You see, if we just stay with milk, if we're just content with milk, then are we content with always being babies? No, we're not. You know, we would be offended, grossly offended, for someone to say, "You're immature physically," or "What about spiritually?" But the writer here said, "You're still undeveloped spiritually. You're still babes, and you need to grow up." Because you see, they need to move from just milk to meat. But to accomplish that, he says we got to use the word. And that's where we're headed in this text. But there's another misconception before we get there. Number four. You know, the milk of the meat, that's for the masses. But the meat of the word, you know, that's for the preachers and the elders and the teachers. You know, that really, the meat of the word, that's just for the scholars out there. Let the scholars eat the meat and we'll just be content with milk. That's not how he uses milk and meat in this context. Not at all. In fact, he rebukes them because by reason of time they should have been eating meat. And they were still in need of the milk. So to conclude that the meat of the word is just for the preacher or the elders or a teacher, but not for the general body of Christians, it's not how the Bible uses the terms, and we're misusing them if we make that application. You see, everyone who wishes to discern good from evil needs to be equipped with both the milk and the meat of the word, because that's what he says in verse 14, solid food, the meat, belongs to those who are mature, of full age. You want to be mature? Then you got to grow to handle the meat of the word. Because that's those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do we know if something's good or evil? Because we feel it? Because of what our experience has been? Because what somebody else has told us and I trust them? How do we know what's good and what's evil? This verse says, it's by using the Scriptures, using the Word of God, using the oracles of God, verse 12. You see, the first principles of the oracles of God, that's milk. The solid food, it's also of the oracles of God, the words of God, that's for the mature. And that equips them and us to train ourselves to know the difference. And to make the right choices in our lives. Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10 and 11 says, "I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment." The ability to distinguish. The ability to judge. To determine, to decide is based here in your love and in your knowledge. That you may approve the things that are excellent. So you make the right choices. That you may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So our ability to distinguish between what's right and wrong, good and evil, God's will and sin, truth and error, our ability to do that comes as we abound in love and knowledge, as we take the meat of the word, move from milk to meat, and balance our diet, and in that way be effective in using truth in our lives. The mature Christian uses the truth in his or her life, appealing to it, relying upon it, an understanding of it, being at the bedrock of the choices that are made in one's life. Now, Let's talk in this last part then about balancing our diet. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, we read about really what was an unbalanced diet. Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24. It was one of the rebukes of the Pharisees. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." You know, it's pretty easy to take the sum of your income under the law of Moses, take how much you made, multiply it by 10%, and say, that's what I'm going to give to God. That's pretty rudimentary, isn't it? Pretty fundamental, right? If you can do math, you can figure out 10%. But that doesn't really teach you anything about the heart with which you're supposed to give, does it? Some of the weightier matters of the law, things like justice and mercy and faith. It's easy to see, well, I'm not supposed to lie. But do you understand why you're not supposed to lie? Can you go to the Scriptures and assess and realize that the value of honesty? Or you say, well, I know Jesus died for my sins, and that's great. That's a first principle. But do you know how that works in God's scheme, in God's plan? You say, oh, I don't have to know that. Really, God's revealed it. You don't need to know what God revealed? That doesn't need to inform your faith? You content with milk if you say that. You content with not maturing. You content with not developing. If that's an attitude you have, I hope that's no one's attitude here. But you see, we become content with an unbalanced diet. Oh, I know what I'm supposed to do, but now the question is, do I know why? Because God wants the why part of us too. He wants our heart. That's where the why comes from. What's motivating? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 says love is supposed to motivate everything we do. But we've got to know what love is. We've got to dig into the Word. We've got to find out what it is. We've got to move beyond just the first principle, you see. To balance our diet, we have to determine what is milk and when it's needed. We need to know the first principle. We've reiterated that. We made that point clear. That involves moral essentials.
Look back there at 1 Peter 2. He said, as newborn babes long for the sincere or pure milk of the Word that may grow thereby. Well, you know, there's some moral imperatives that are essential that really are first principles. Don't have malice in your heart. Don't deceive. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't envy. Don't speak evil of somebody else. Those are fundamentals. Those are moral essentials.
The Word of God talks about that, but really that's milk. That's pretty fundamental to being pure in Christ, being holy in Christ. We put away all those things in our heart. Remember, repentance, changing our heart, fundamental. We determine that we need all that. We need to know what repentance is. We need to understand what malice is and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking so we can put it away, so we can avoid it, so we won't choose that, so we can discern good and evil. You see, that's where the meat part of the Word is now. Help us discern by use the right and the wrong.
So we need to determine what milk is and when it's needed. We need to know what meat is when it's needed. Now, we've already spoken to the point. It's that's more complex. It's a more complex food that needs trained ears. And that was the problem in Hebrews 5:11. It wasn't that the teaching could not be understood. It was that they were dull of hearing, so that it became hard to explain to them, because they had not prepared their hearts to receive it. And that was where the rebuke was found, is they had not developed spiritually to accept the more complex, the teachings about Christ, who is a priest like Melchizedek, and how that impacts in God's purpose, and how Christ is serving today in heaven, what kind of priest He is, His nature of priesthood, what He does in that priesthood, how that affects you and me, and how we can come to the throne of mercy because He intercedes for us. And on, the list goes.
in the priesthood of Christ that comforts and assures and equips us to pray and to supplicate as well as to serve as priests in the house of God. But how do we know any of that if we don't take time with the Word of God to learn it and then live it? Oh, we'll rely on you, Joe. You can tell us about it. No, don't do that. I might tell you wrong. I'm not that standard of truth. You need it in the Word of God. We each need the Word of God in us. We need the milk, we need the meat. You see, and we need to train our ears to receive both and to then live both. Study to show yourself approved unto God is what that's all about. It's giving diligence to present ourselves approved before God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? So we can discern good and evil. Right. So we need the milk and we need the meat to move to maturity and then maintain our maturity in Christ. Hebrews 6 goes on to talk to them about endurance. And the rest of the book, really, having done the will of God, you may obtain the promises. We have to persevere. They need to be diligent. And using God's word acclimates us to the meat of the word, to all the whole counsel of God, so that we develop as God wants us to spiritually. So in chapter 6 and verse 1, he said, let us go on to perfection, or press on to perfection. And then verse 3 says, this we will do if God permits. Our goal, our aim, is to be mature, to take the milk and take the meat, to develop in using the word of God, to discern good and evil, to do the good and shun the evil, to move to perfection, that is maturity. The word perfect there is complete, to be complete. We're not complete if all we take is milk, and we're not mature if we're unwilling to take the milk as well as the meat. Because we're not going to be able to accept the meat if we haven't developed by first taking the milk. We need to stay hungry, really. But stay hungry for God's Word. Hungry for the whole counsel of God. Hungry to know what God's will is so we can use it, train ourselves, digest it, equip ourselves to know right and wrong, to do good, and to abstain from every form of evil. That begins by becoming a Christian. Again, as we said at the beginning of tonight, if you know what God wants you to do and you haven't done it, then God is urging you to do that now. Why not? Why not be saved from your past sins? Why not have them removed by the blood of the Lamb? Why not receive the benefit of the Savior who is now at the right hand of God and who serves as high priest over the house of God? He will add you to that house and you can be a priest in that house. You can serve God as a priest. It begins by being saved. We hope that you'll do that tonight by repenting of sin, confessing your faith, and being baptized into Jesus. If you're a Christian and there's sin in your life, then we urge you to remove it. Come back to the Lord. Replace the negligence or the apathy with fullness of diligence unto the end. Hebrews 4, verse 11. We must be diligent to the end, not slack, taking the milk and developing to the meat so that we can discern good and evil. If we can help you obey God, won't you please come while we stand and sing?
Oh, to